Now, I just want to check you can hear me, because I want you to hear me today. Can you? Good. I thought for my final sermon we'd go back to the beginning, to the opening teachings of Jesus, to things we've looked at before but are so important, so foundation to who we are as followers of Jesus. I've just realised I haven't given a script to Nick. We'd like to take that up to Nick. Thank you. Sorry, Nick, my bad. Even after 9 years. I wrote out that first reading that Karen brought from the Message translation in the front of Joshua, our grandson's christening card, as I thought it was a brilliant example of who and what we are as apprentices of Jesus. It comes from the Sermon on the Mount, an amazing collection of Jesus' teaching found at the beginning of Matthew, where Jesus sets out to describe what human life and what community life looks like under the rule of God, as followers of Jesus, as church, as kingdom bringers. Jesus makes it very clear that we are to be different to those around us, different to the dominant culture. We are here to be light, bringing out the God colours in the world. By our words, by our actions, by our attitudes, by our lifestyles, we are to show God's goodness, to show his love, his mercy, his justice, his values, his ways. Twinkle, what are you? You, we are light. So let me encourage you to shine. As Jesus says, God is not a secret to be kept. Jesus put us, that's very nice, thank you, put us under a bucket. And neither should we try and creep under one ourselves. We've been put on a hill, literally as a church community and as a building, and metaphorically, and we are to radiate light, to show to all God's brilliant colours there to be found in the world that he made, to our friends, to our neighbours, to our community, to Thornhill and Harefield. Wherever there is darkness, we're to dispel it with light. Where there's confusion, to bring clarity. Where there's ugliness, to bring beauty. Where there's hatred, to bring love. Where there's jealousy, vulnerability and open-heartedness. Where there's debt, relief. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's loneliness, friendship. You get it? This is not a choice when we're followers of Jesus. We are light, and we are to shine. And if what I have already described isn't obvious and clear enough, Jesus brings his own example. We're to keep open house. We're to be generous with our lives. Not just as individuals, but as families and as house groups and as children and youth groups and as church. Our lives and our homes, our friendships and our church groups are to be open, vulnerable, generous to all. Because that is what God is like. And by opening ourselves up to others, we'll prompt them to be open to God. We cannot do that behind closed doors or in cliques. Our whole DNA as people and church needs to allow light out. We need to be holy, holy, holy. Holy as in full of holes, so the light gets out. Holy as in completely committed to this, and holy as in set apart, reflecting our wonderful God. Holy, 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 so that people can see the wonderful God colours and be open to our wonderful God. This open, light-giving lifestyle may be a big change for us, for our family. So start small, but do start. Ask someone around for a cup of coffee. Beam a big smile. Ask your neighbour, how are you today? Instead of ignoring it and think it's somebody else's issue, pick up that piece of litter. Let the light shine and start today and keep practicing. Make openness and generosity and shining your habit until it becomes second nature. And I would ask you to hold each other accountable to this, as individuals, as house groups, as church, as you go into this next season. Keep asking yourselves, am I showing light? Am I being open and generous? Or am I wanting to hide away? Am I wanting to keep the good God stuff safe within my comfort zone? Keep asking ourselves as friendship groups, as house groups, as church community, are we showing light? Are we being open and generous? Or are we wanting to hide away to what we know, to keep the good, the God stuff, safe where we understand it? Jesus taught on this because he knew it was our natural tendency to stay in, to stay safe, to stay comfortable. But we're to be different. We're to shine outwards on this hilltop. Why are you here? What are you? Twinkle, you are light. To bring out the God colours in the world, in order that people will open up to God, the light of the world. So shine. Now we'll turn to the second reading, which again comes from the very start of Jesus' ministry, but this time the writer Luke picks up the story. The passage starts, Jesus went to Nazareth where he was brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Seven of us from TBC joined many hundreds of others to listen to John Mark Comer each morning at New Wine earlier this summer. He was inspiring, both as an apprentice of Jesus and as a speaker. So I won't try and be like him, I'll be Ruth, but he was good. A while back, John Mark had got disillusioned with his life. He didn't like who he was becoming, despite the fact he was a pastor of a megachurch in America in his 20s. He was still very young-looking to me. He was doing all the things he felt he should do as a follower of Jesus, but realized he wasn't changing, he wasn't being transformed. So he sacked himself and spent time exploring how he could be more like Jesus, how he could go around about the transformational process. Now, he realized, and he said, a lot of the heavy lifting in this process is done by the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, I'm going to need some water. Visual aid, water of life. And we'll talk more about the Holy Spirit in a moment. But he knew that he played a vital part in his own transformation. And John Mark convincingly showed us that we are all continued being formed. Whether we think about it or not, we are being formed by the stories we believe, whether it's on the news, in our reading, in our friendship groups, by the habits and practices we do day by day, week by week, and by our relationships. Whatever we believe, whatever we do on a regular basis, whoever we hang out with shapes our hearts, our habits, our behavior. So the book or the TV program we watch will affect our heart. The daily practice of drinking tea will affect our palate. The friendships we make will reinforce who we are. Through our daily regular routines, we are being formed. And the question is, who are we becoming? Do our habits help us in our apprenticeship with Jesus, or do they reduce our shine? Back to the passage. It was Jesus' custom to go on the Sabbath day every week to the synagogue. And a bit later it says he was handed a scroll and he knew exactly where to go in it for the passage he was looking to see. Jesus, the beloved Son of God, God in human form, felt it was important to meet together with others and offer worship to God and learn together from the scriptures on a weekly basis. Jesus, the beloved Son of God, God in human form, knew and was instructed by and lived by the authority and the wisdom of the scriptures. James and I actually heard a podcast later on in the week in our van as we're going up and down the country. Not one little bit of the Old Testament is not going to be fulfilled through Jesus. It's important and precious to him. And over my time here, I have seen a change in attitude towards our coming to worship together, of setting aside personal time with reading and meditating on learning to love Scripture. They're often seen as optional, or we're seen as optional, unimportant, something as an option amongst many. This passage, written at the start of Jesus' ministry, shows it was his custom, his habit, something that curated his heart towards God. It was something he did on a regular basis, to play an active part in the worship community, to know and read and live by the Scriptures. He knew those things formed him. He knew those things helped him stay true to who he was, his calling, his relationship with Father and Spirit. If these regular habits and practices were important to him, then surely as his followers, as his apprentices, who want to be in tune with and in relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit, they need to be important habits and practices for us too. So I'd encourage you this week just to set aside time to ask yourself seriously, what is forming you? Look at your daily and your weekly patterns and ask whether your habits help you in your following of Jesus, or lessen it, or dim your light. Who are you becoming? Are you just like everyone else? Or are you becoming more light, more like Jesus? The second thing I think is amazing about this passage is that Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Jesus, Word made flesh. Jesus, second person of the Godhead. His ministry was enabled and anointed by the third person of the Trinity, by the Holy Spirit. He didn't do it in his own power and strength, but in relationship and in response to the Holy Spirit. I would suggest that just like Jesus, we too need the Holy Spirit in order to shine, in order to bring out the God colors. Now, as I said earlier, much of the heavy lifting in our transformation as new creations, as apprentices of Jesus, comes from the Holy Spirit. But it isn't a matter of let go and let God, which was a poster I had in my room when I was 17 with a bird going off. The Holy Spirit does do wonderful works of healing, and it's important to sit under his ministry. He brings healing and freedom from past hurts and memories and circumstances. But maturity and growth as a follower of Jesus comes with walking with him day by day, by weekly obedience to him. It's much more of a relationship of partnership if we are to grow and become. It's about obedience and listening and knowing and ongoing and growing trust, of dying to self, of us taking responsibility for our part in the transformational process. As Augustine reportedly said, without us, God won't. So we need the Holy Spirit, but we have to work with him on a daily basis. So just like Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit, but also just like Jesus, we need to play our part in our own formation, cooperating with and partnering with the Holy Spirit in shining, in bringing out the God colors, in preaching good news to the poor. Jesus' first priority in preaching and being good news was to the poor. The Spirit specifically anointed him to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free. Basically, all those least likely to be on other people's agendas, those most often overlooked and ignored. I've pondered why this is the case. Why are the poor so important to Jesus? And I think it's because there should not be poverty in this world. Poor people are a sign of the breakdown of God's good original purposes, his kingdom. Poverty in any of its forms is outside of God's will, his desire for those made in his image. Let me explain. In the beginning, God made humanity and gave us the responsibility for looking after the wonderful resources in this world, to rule the world and subdue it. We have all of the earth's resources. And later, when he called Abram to be the father of a nation, he said, "You are to be a source of blessing to all nations." And there were strict instructions through the Torah, through the readings of the old scriptures, to look after people who are most vulnerable, to ensure that everyone thrived. And poverty in all its forms flies in the face of it. This is a great injustice. There are enough resources in this wonderful creation that God has given us to be shared by all. But some individuals and families and churches and communities and nations have loads, and some have nothing. God would desire that we are a blessing to one another as families and individuals and as communities. Yet so often we hold tightly to what we have and feel no responsibility to others. By way of a slight tangent, I bet some of you are sitting there, "But Jesus said, the poor will always be with you." Yes, he did. But Jesus made this statement in response to a woman's extravagant worship to him, that all the others were going, "I could have used that money for something else." It was not permission giving for us to be penny pinching. He was saying, "The poor will always be with us," as a reflection and a sad acknowledgement of the reality that he died to reverse. I believe Jesus' priority to the poor, his first priority, is because they simply should not be. Poverty in any form, in cash, in relationships, in spirit, in soul, in health, is repugnant to him. It's offensive to him. And throughout his earthly ministry, he worked tirelessly to free people from it. God has placed TBC on a hill, and he has called us, anointed us to shine, to proclaim and be good news to those considered most poor in Southampton, to Thornhill and to Harefield. This is our geographical patch. This is where we are. And the people the ones that Jesus are his first priority are the people that directly surround us in Thornhill and Harefield. They are Jesus' priority. They always were. They always will be. We may have taken the words Thornhill and Harefield out of our vision statement, and we did that in order to ensure that anyone who walks through these doors feels welcome and accepted, and we want that to be the case. But our calling and our anointing as a church community on this hill remains the same: to shine, to proclaim good news to the poor, to the individuals and families of Thornhill and Harefield. The words Thornhill and Harefield may not be written explicitly on our vision statement anymore, but these are the people to whom this church is called to be good news. The words and people of Harefield and Thornhill need to be written on our hearts, because no one should be poor. Poverty is repugnant to Jesus. I know that's not a local shop word, but I like it. It's offensive to Jesus, and therefore it should be offensive to us. As a church community formed and called by the Holy Spirit, we should work tirelessly to free people from poverty, to proclaim and be good news to the poor. And as we do, we as ordinary people, but intentional followers of Jesus, those who have been daily formed into his image, we will shine, revealing the God colors in this world, causing the people of Thornhill and Harefield to be open to God. We do this through our light-giving words, through our darkness-dispelling actions, through our open homes and our generous lives, as individuals and as families, of groups and of church. We will shine if we live like this and make our extraordinary God known to those he has called and anointed us to serve, from this hilltop in the middle of Harefield and Thornhill. This is your calling, empowered and in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Go for it.